Have a look again, if you will, at that lesson that Alexander read for us. Those words from that long ago prophet, Habakkuk. And especially this verse in the middle. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. I'm in the publishing business, and so I know this unhappy little fact that most books live very short lives. They have a brief moment when they are published, and then, for the most part, they are forgotten. But once in a great while, a book will appear that does something like the opposite. Almost no one notices it when it first appears, and then over the years, more and more readers come to it and see in it something important and timeless. One such book was published just a little more than 50 years ago. It started out as a series of lectures given at a little college, Bryn Mawr College, by a professor of literature from a British university. And they were collected and published, and at first no one paid much attention. And then more people did, and soon enough a great many people did, and now that book is thought to be one of the most significant and influential books published in the last century. The professor was a scholar named Frank Kermode, and the little book that came out of his lectures was called The Sense of an Ending, Studies in the Theory of Fiction. And that probably sounds about like the most boring book you could ever read. But in those 200 pages, it had a large message and an enormous impact. Professor Kermode wanted to try to answer a seemingly simple question. What have we learned about the way we tell stories? And what does that say about us? And his answer, like his question, was seemingly simple. Kermode's idea was that when we tell stories, we do so knowing that history, life, the things that have made us who and what we are have happened at a time before us, and that the stories we tell about ourselves are stories that we know will be part of a history that unfolds in front of us. To say it in the words of the title, even though the stories we tell might end with the words, the end, we tell our stories knowing that there is a story that continues after the end. That is what he means by saying we have a sense of an ending. We know that no matter how we tell our story, whether it's a tiny set of verses or a great epic poem, there is always time after our ending that we are headed into. That is the ending that we have a sense of. What that means is something kind of obvious, but that we keep forgetting. What it means is that no matter what we think we know, there is always more to the story. No matter how bad we think things are, or how bad they really are, we don't know, at least not yet, how it all unfolds in the end. Now, we know almost nothing about Habakkuk, but we know at least this. He wrote his own story in a way that almost perfectly demonstrates what that professor would teach thousands of years later. To the people around Habakkuk, it seemed as though all that was good was coming to an end. The best people, the best ideas, the best visions had been defeated. And the worst people, the worst ideas, the worst visions, they seemed to be winning. What we have from Habakkuk is a very small book of 3 chapters. You could read the whole thing over lunch today. The reading we heard this morning is just a thin slice of that thin book, but it captures entirely the 2 basic themes that the prophet offers. One of those themes is a classic for prophets. It's angry, heartfelt, eloquent complaining. And it basically comes in this form. God, how can you be so uncaring, so indifferent to our plight? How can you let all this go on, all this injustice, all this inhuman cruelty, all this war and violence? Habakkuk would have felt right at home in our headlines. Not a lot of what outrages us today would have surprised him. And none of it would make him think twice about doing what comes naturally to a prophet, and if we're honest, to any of us, shaking our fist in rage at God in righteous indignation. But then there is the second theme. And this is the one we have the most to learn from. It is the message that acknowledges there is more to the story, that the final accounting has not yet been taken. If you think this is all there is, if you think this is the story, then you would probably be right to respond in fear or anger or despair. But the prophet is a man of faith. Fear and anger and despair are never the right responses for people of faith. And so instead, the prophet takes a different posture. The short version of the faithful posture is just this. I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to wait and see. That is not said as a defiant challenge. Instead, it comes as a statement of deep trust in God's absolute and unwavering intention to carry out God's plan in God's time. Now, we may feel we live in dark and difficult times. We may even feel we live in a time when good things are ending, when hope is hard to find, when the good people are defeated and the wrongdoers seem to be exalted. But we are people of faith, and that means we know, as surely as we know anything, that there is more to the story, and that the whole story is ultimately and totally held within the sovereignty of God, and God alone. Zacchaeus knew there was more to the story than he could see. So he climbed a tree, and he waited to see what would unfold, and he ended up finding himself hosting the Lord in his own house. Paul knew there was more to the story, and he pressed on with his journey, sharing the story of the gospel wherever he went, even though the forces against him were incalculably large. Martin Luther King knew there was more to the story. Reading again this text from Habakkuk this morning put me in mind of that line from Dr. King that the president is so fond of quoting. The arc of history is long, but it bends toward justice. I'm told those words are even woven into the edge of the rug that adorns the Oval Office. But it turns out that both President Obama and Dr. King, in looking past our time to a time to come, both of them were drawing on a time in the past and a preacher in the past. Specifically, they're both quoting a man named Theodore Parker, a preacher of Boston, a leader of the abolitionist movement, and a Unitarian minister. Theodore Parker lived through the great division of the Puritan church into congregational and Unitarian churches. He was among the early transcendentalists. He kept company with people like Emerson and Alcott and Bronson. And he was one of those great 19th century preachers whom to hear was to attend an occasion. His most passionate subject was the dignity of all people and the evil of any system that would deny that dignity. In his own day, it was slavery. And this is what he said. Look at the facts of the world. you see a continual and progressive triumph of the right. I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. My eye reaches but a little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by the experience of sight. I can divine it by conscience. But from what I see, I am sure that it bends toward justice. Things refused to be mismanaged long. Jefferson trembled when he thought of slavery and remembered that God was just. Before long, all America will tremble. Theodore Parker knew there was more to the story. And we must know that there is more to the story. We know that our part of the story is not the end, but a passage on the way to God's ending. And by faith, we will stand on the ramparts and wait to see what the Lord will say to us. Amen.